tonight.
First of all, the two questions that were left open last week, I have answers for it. Usher Stein asked about artichokes and any other kind of similar plant that does not have to be planted yearly, even though it's considered a vegetable. There are no isra of svichim that apply to that. Artichoke, there's no svichim, and therefore artichokes you can use. They have kedusha shviyas since they're plucked during shemitah. What? It depends. If they have to be planted constantly, not. There's a list here of the things that don't have svichim of yirakos, which are the following. Here, pineapples. There's no svichim. Asparagus, artichokes, bananas, okra, rhubarb. That's mushrooms, obviously, but not mushrooms because of a different reason. Let's see. I don't see anything with herbs. I don't see herbs here.
Same thing with nana.
Nana is the same thing as something here. That... mint, yeah? Mint. Mint, there's no svichim by mint either, and mint and nana are the same thing. Okay. Obviously, you can't plant them. But if they were planted before, you can eat them. And according to us, even if they were worked on or whatever, b'di'evad, they're mutter to eat. Another thing, flowers, we never got to. Flowers, if they have no aroma at all, they're just decorative flowers with absolutely no aroma, then they have no kedusha shviyas, and there's no isra of svichim by them. So flowers that have absolutely no aroma, there's no problem with. Obviously, you can't plant them. But if they grew by themselves or whatever, or even, according to us, but if they were worked on during Shemitah, Shomer v'Nevad, since they are not something that's for food purposes, we also hold their also. So, that's flowers with no aroma. Flowers that are specifically for their aroma, flowers that are majority for the aroma, what? And they're also to have any anofram, they're shvichim. They're shomer v'nevad. So they're also because they're shomer v'nevad. They're also to have any to use them for anything. The flowers that are used for aroma, there they definitely have kedusha shviyas, and there's also an isur svichim. So you have to be very careful where you buy flowers from, that either they're imported from chutz laretz or they started growing before shemitah and they're not svichim and they have kedusha shviyas. And flowers that have an aroma but are not mainly for their aroma. They have an aroma, but they're not mainly for aroma. So there is a shaila, a machlokas, and we are no hag that also to consider them with kedusha shviyas, and to to consider them svichim. Somebody brings you a present of flowers for Shabbos, and you're not sure where they came from, whatever, you can stick them in a vase, and let's let them die by themselves or whatever, and to. To put them into water to keep them going. Not to embarrass the people. They don't have to know if there's water in the vase.
Put bleach in the water.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Yeah. Let me see.
Forget.
Oh, I'm not used to do it. And then you just forget.
Yeah, you can put them in water. You can put them in water. You can't buy them, but you can put them in water. If you got them as a present, you can put them in water.
Okay. If there's no aroma, there's no Kedushas Shvi'ah, so why is there the Shama Veneva at the Kasar?
Because it has Shama Veneva, it has nothing to do with Kedushas Shvi'ah. It has to do with the Yisur of the oldest Karka. It applies to everything, whether it has Kedushas Shvi'ah or not. Okay. Okay, next halachas have to do with how to eat things that have Kedusha Shvi'ah properly and how to dispose of them properly. Okay, some people hold, the Torah says when it comes to the produce of Shvi'ah, and again, this only applies, the second question somebody asked me, if you have fruit on your trees after Rosh Hashanah, but it's not Shvi'ah fruit because it basically blossomed in the sixth year. Shvi'ah fruit will be next year's fruit, not vegetables, fruit. So you're allowed to harvest that normally.
And do you trumas and maaser?
And you have to take off trumas and maaser, 100%, yeah. Just regular fruit. Right. Okay. Yeah.
We have a sovereign cactus. These sabra things, like people cut them down, so they're always hefker, but when people cut them down, sometimes the leaves themselves, in order to get to the sabra, so when the leaves just lay on the ground, they root themselves and they start growing. So we're not allowed to pick up those leaves, we can't move them, they'll start growing and then we can't uproot them. They go everywhere and they turn into...
No, you can pick them up and throw them away. The leaves themselves, yes, no kedusha shvius in the trunk of the tree.
Into a dumpster, so we can't,
yeah, there's no kedusha shvius. No kedusha shvius in that. That's only in the sabras. There's sabras. I don't know how they grow, but they're probably fruit. They're not like any fruit. Probably the sabras that are on the tree now are not have nothing to do with kedusha shvius, even if you pick them during shvius.
But next
year, so we'll worry about it then. But in any case, the sabras have kedusha shvius. The leaves, the trunk don't have any kedusha shvius. You can throw them away.
But can I throw them on ground somewhere else?
Where it could grow? No. Okay. Okay. The some people hold the Torah says. That the produce of Shvi'ah is to be eaten. Some learn that means literally there's a mitzvah to eat Perish Shvi'ah. They never made a bracha lechol Perish Shvi'ah, but you're mekayim a mitzvah if you eat fruit from Shvi'ah. But most shittas hold, and that's how we hold, there's no real mitzvah to eat perish shvi'ah, but there's an isser to do something else than eating it. You're not allowed to deal with it in a way that's not eating. That's called, in other words, la'achla v'lo lehetz. You can't destroy it. You can't deal with it in a way that's not considered normal eating. And therefore, the halachas are the following. Anything that has kedusha shvi'ah, you have to eat in the normal way that it's eaten. In other words, if it's normally eaten raw, and most people don't cook that, you're not allowed to cook it. Even if you have some mishigas that you want to cook it. Something that's normally eaten cooked, and you have a mishigas you want to eat it raw, you can't. If something is eaten both raw and cooked, right, then you can do either one, because that's the normal way of eating it. He gives examples here. Things that are normally eaten raw, things that are normally right, not eaten raw, but only cooked, are quince, squash, similar things like that. People don't eat raw squash or raw chavushim. And the opposite is also true. Things that are normally eaten not cooked, like oranges, are normally not cooked. Sometimes, yeah, but the normal way of eating oranges is not cooking them. He says over here, cucumbers. I don't know if cucumbers are not normally cooked. People make cucumber, things with cucumber. Again, not to buck in, but
cucumbers not cooked, but oranges often are. It has to be how most
the normal way, right? The normal way, right? The normal way that it's eaten, not, but not something to mute of his use.
What about eating a lemon?
What?
Just eating a lemon.
Eating a lemon. Lemons are used regular by what's it called, by squeezing lemon juice.
So I mean, they can be raw.
You squeeze the lemon juice into your mouth.
I have a daughter that loves eating lemons like we eat oranges.
Yeah, lemons aren't cooked. They're basically, lemons are squeezed for their juice, yeah?
Like oranges, for instance, was just on the list
today. What?
Oranges.
Yeah.
So oranges, like there are lots of recipes, like they use orange and chicken, orange and cakes. You know, so you're saying, like, because it's not what everybody does with oranges. I mean, there's so many cake recipes with orange and so many chicken recipes with orange.
Okay, I don't know. You have to decide whether that's unusual or that's the usual way that oranges are used.
How do you determine?
I don't know. I'll have to figure out. I don't know. Yeah. Is pickling called cooking? Yeah, things that are normally pickled can be pickled. Things that are not normally pickled can't be pickled.
Like orange juice.
Right.
If they're normally pickled, can you cook them too because they're out there?
What? Okay, hold on with questions. No question. Okay. The next halacha, let's go through the halachas here. Anything, any acts of preservation of fruits and vegetables, like pickling, making of jam, are all considered like cooking, and that you can only do it to things that are normally cooked. Again, what's called normally cooked or not depends basically on what the majority of people use that thing for.
Orange marmalade. That's normal.
Okay.
Therefore, we cook oranges. Okay. Pickled watermelon rind isn't.
If you prepared fruits or vegetables in the prohibited way, you're over an isser, but it doesn't make the food usher. You can still eat it. So if you cooked something that shouldn't be cooked, so you transgress that prohibition of that's called destroying the fruit because it's not eaten the normal way. You basically partially destroyed it, like I'll be eating, because you're not eating it now with its full benefit. So you're over that isser, but you're allowed to eat it. Doesn't prohibit the thing from being eaten. Now, it's not only the fruits and vegetables, but anything that you cook together, for instance. You have what's it called, green peppers, that are Shemitah green peppers that have Kedusha Shviyas. And you put them in a stew, which you're allowed, because people do cook green peppers. You put it into a stew. Or you have potatoes that have Kedusha Shviyas, and you put them in stew. So now the tam of the potatoes go into the meat. The meat now has Kedusha Shviyas. And you can only use that meat and prepare that meat in the way that you're allowed to prepare vegetables or fruit that have Kedusha Shviyas. So anything that's cooked together with things that have Kedusha Shviyas also gets Kedusha Shviyas and has to be dealt with the same way that you would deal with something, the original thing, that had Kedusha Shviyas. So now what is that? Let's see some other things. You can't squeeze fruits or vegetables that aren't normally squeezed for their juices. Like, now he gives examples. Like what's it called? Dates, pears, onions, cucumbers are not normally squeezed for their juices. You can't squeeze them for their juices. And l'chora, the same thing would be to liquefy them and make them into a drink. So all these puree liquefied vegetables that people sometimes eat, right, by making them into a liquid, that also you can't do. Therefore, what you're allowed to squeeze are things that are normally squeezed by most people, which is grapes, lemons, oranges, and grapefruits. Grapefruits. Those are things that are... Apples?
Apple juice.
Yeah. I guess people squeeze apples for... A lot of apples are squeezed for juice. What? Okay, again, what exactly fits into this? What's called the majority usage of that thing or not, or at least equal, right? It goes according to the custom, the custom of the place where you live.
Oh, because in Israel they squeeze everything.
Yeah. They have smoothies, there is strawberries and bananas. And
but that's not the major use of these things. In other words, an equal amount of strawberries aren't squeezed for their juice as are eaten regular. That's not the thing. Okay.
So you can't have smoothies?
No.
I'm being totally confused.
All right, hold on. Wait. Afterwards, you can tell me if you're confused. Okay. Let's finish first. Okay. Now the juice that is squeezed out of what's it called that comes out of vegetables or whatever have kedusha shvius. Even the ones that you're not allowed to squeeze, if you squeeze them, the juice has kedusha shvius. The same thing, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did it, you're allowed to drink it, and it has kedusha shvius, so you can't waste it or throw it down the drain, or what we'll see in one second. Anything that's normally mashed, or like we said, pureed, or anything similar to that, diced or whatever you can do. Things that aren't prepared like that, then doing that to those things is basically destroying them partially. And that's also. Okay, the shells... Hold on. Well, after I finish the whole thing, you can ask me whatever you want. If you don't remember, write down the question. Okay. Shells or peels that are left after you squeeze fruit that you're allowed to squeeze. Orange peels. Lemon peels that are left over after you've squeezed out everything you have to squeeze out. Right, or tomatoes, which people make tomato juice. So you made tomato juice, right? Tomato juice is usually made from cooked tomatoes, I assume. And then they puree it. They don't squeeze tomato juice out of the tomatoes. But they puree tomatoes to make tomato juice. Or apples, right? So then the halacha of those is considered like leftovers of food, because they're edible, and we'll see what the halachas are of that, of what to do with leftovers. You're allowed to peel fruit like that is normally peeled in the place where you live. In other words, people peel cucumbers, you're allowed to peel cucumbers. People peel apples, you're allowed to peel an apple. Okay? Even though you could eat a cucumber with the peel and you could eat an apple with the peel, but since it's a normal way for many people to peel these things, even though there are people who don't peel them also, that's mutter to peel. But you're not allowed to peel fruits or vegetables that most people don't peel, even though you like to peel them, right? Like apricots and tomatoes. Some people peel tomatoes. Most people don't. Some people peel apricots. Most people don't. And therefore, you're not allowed to peel them, even if you decide or you always peel them. Since most people don't, during Shemitah, you have to stop peeling your tomatoes and your apricots. If you have parts of the fruit or vegetables that are farshimeled, they're rotted, right? Not good, or dirty and not edible, right? So then, or like lettuce, some of the leaves are not good to eat. They're all rotted or whatever. You're allowed to take those off, right? Even though you can't exactly be only take off the parts that aren't edible and leave all the parts that are edible. It's almost impossible to separate like that. So you're allowed to take off the way normally people take off the outer leaves and discard them. That's mutter to do. We'll see in a second. Discard them in the way that you're allowed to discard things that have to do with Shemitah, which we'll get to in a second. Okay, now, how do you discard things that are the psolus, not the things that you want to eat? You peeled an apple. What do you do with the apple peels? You squeezed a orange. What do you do with the orange, rind? So, or what do you do with a watermelon rind? Okay, so the luck is like this. If there is still left on the peels or the rind, fruit, okay, edible fruit, Or you have, what's it called, lettuce leaves, that part of it is still edible. Or parsley, right, that have parts of the leftovers or the parts of the things that you took away because they weren't really edible, have edible parts on them. The same thing goes with fruits that have pits, but there's still fruit on the pit, okay? Like a peach pit or whatever. It's not completely, right? Whatever, yeah, whatever has still has fruit on the pit, right? Then when once again we'll see they're like any other leftovers of food and can't be thrown away. All those things have to be treated with Kedusha Shvias, which we'll get to in a second how to do that. Now how about shells that aren't edible? You have peanuts with Kedusha Shvias and you have peanut shells. Peanut shells, nobody eats peanut shells. Right? You have orange skins. Orange peels. So here, that's a little what's it called, not clear, because people do eat orange. They candy them, they feed them to animals, so they are edible. But most of the time, they're just thrown out and they're not eaten. Most people don't candy their orange peels, nor do they save them for animal food. So, for the peels?
Yeah, peels in the marmalade, sure.
Okay. So because there are people who taka use these peels, they are somewhat edible, then it's a chumrah to deal with them with Kedusha Shvias. And that's how you should be knowing. Since anyway you're going to have a lot of things to be nohu with Kedusha Shvias, things that are edible by some people. People use them either for animal feed, or they use to put in marmalade, or they candy them, or whatever. Even though most people don't do that, they should be treated as leftovers from food that have Kedusha Shvias.
What about bananas?
We'll get in a second. Banana peels, nobody eats banana peels. Okay. Again, but if it has part of the fruit, the banana on it, that's a problem. But if you take off the banana and just the peel, you can throw away. Okay, you can't use wine to do anything but drink. You can't use it to put on your body, right? Or what's it called? Or vinegar, that has Kedusha Shvias. Or lemon juice, what's it called? You can't use them for a rub because that's not the normal way of using them, even though some people use them like that. But you can't use them during Shemitah for that purpose. You can't use them for cleaning either. Sometimes people use lemon juice or whatever to clean out stains or whatever. You can't use it like that if it has Kedusha Shvias. Also, you can't use vinegar that has Kedusha Shvias to dip lettuce in to take away bugs. It's not the normal usage for eating. So those things are also not allowed. Tobacco that has Kedusha Shvias, you're allowed to smell it or smoke it, since that's the normal usage of that all the time. Nobody eats tobacco, but eats it and swallows it. No, but you have to make sure that tobacco doesn't have an Issur Svichim. And there, besides that, besides Shemitah, there are other prohibitions about smoking tobacco, which should not be done. How would you know what?
There's a
hexer
on the...
Yeah, what's it called? You'll know where it comes from, yeah.
Right next to the
okay.
Where it says
smoking
kills.
Okay, you can't... Now we'll get to what to do with things you have to discard. You can't discard, spoil... fruit or vegetables or anything that has Kedusha Shvias, meaning meat, eggs, fish, anything that absorbed the tam, the taste of vegetables or fruit. Only vegetable or fruit can be Kedusha Shvias or grain, things that grow from the ground. Meat, eggs, fish can never be originally Kedusha Shvias, but they can get Kedusha Shvias by absorbing the taste from vegetables, grain, and fruit. So anything that now has Kedusha Shvias, whether it's fit for human consumption, or even if it's only fit for animal consumption, but it's edible by animals, right? So you can't discard it. So what does that mean? You can't destroy it. So that has a few different possibilities. One is, if you have a tree that has fruit growing on it, that will have Kedusha Shvius, and the fruit is not yet ripe, you're not allowed to take it off the tree when it's unripe, because you're causing it to be destroyed. You're not letting it develop into a time when you'll be able to eat it. So by taking it off unripe, where it won't ripen, right, is usher. And even if it's supposed to be, in the end, fit for human consumption, and by taking it off early, it's still fit for animal consumption, but it'll never become fit for human consumption, that's also what's called usher.
But, Rav, when you have apricot trees, you always take the fruit off early before it ripens up afterwards.
No, as long as it'll ripen afterwards, that's okay. We're talking, we take it off in an unripe state where it'll never ripen. Mm-hmm. You take it off so early that it'll never ripen. You're talking, when it'll ripen means it's basically ready to eat. The only thing is, you want to leave it off the tree to get it more ripe. That's normal. That's okay. But to take it off the tree in its early growing stages where it'll never ripen, that's awesome. Any food that's fit for human consumption can't be fed to an animal. So if you have animals that you feed, and bichlal is a problem of feeding food that's fit for human consumption to an animal. So leftovers that you know nobody's going to eat, you can give to a dog or any other animal. But something that people could eat, you're not allowed to feed your dog something that human beings can eat. It's a bizoyin to the ochel. That food is fit for human beings, you're giving it to an animal. So that's normal. And during Shemitah, it's much more serious. During Shemitah, feeding any food that is fit for human consumption to an animal is awesome.
Any food with Kedusha
Shvius. What?
Any food with Kedusha Shvius.
And the same thing, right, Kedusha Shvius, right, we're talking about. And the same thing goes the opposite way. Food that's normally animal feed, that people don't normally eat, a human being can't eat, he has to give it to an animal. Because that's not the normal way of dealing with it. It's not the normal way of dealing with that fruit. You can't make projects from food that has Kedusha Shvius. Use them for beads or for collages or whatever that people sometimes do. That's also awesome. Because then they're making them in a way that they won't become edible anymore. Food that was fit for a human but became pasul, what's it called? Something happened to it and humans won't eat it anymore. But it's still fit to give to your dog. That's okay to feed to a dog, even if it has Kedusha Shvius. Because it's no longer fit for a person to eat.
Could I clarify something about
that? No, not yet. You're allowed to, what's it called, give Perish Shvius to children to eat, even though it's obvious they're going to waste some of it or whatever, but that's also a normal thing to do. You don't have to sit there and watch that they don't throw something down or make something not edible or whatever. You can give children normal things, even though they're going to make crumbs and they're going to destroy some. That's the normal way of eating these things. You can't use Shemitah wine or grape juice in a way that destroys it, for instance. You can't fill up the coast so much that when you make Kiddush, the wine spills over and gets ruined. Okay, if you catch every bit and then put it back in, that lechara will be fine. But if you don't do it like that, right? You don't have a cup underneath and it spills on the tablecloth, and then nobody's going to squeeze it out of the tablecloth to drink it, right? So you've wasted that wine. That's usher.
Havdalah.
Havdalah, same thing. Can't use Shemitah wine in the way that we normally use for Havdalah, to put in your eyes or to let it spill over or whatever. And therefore you can't put the Havdalah candle into Shemitah wine and make it unedible. Okay, same thing goes using Shemitah wine for the Seder and sticking your finger in and taking out by the Eser Makos is also usher. So don't use Shemitah wine for Havdalah or for Kiddush if you're going to waste the wine, or for Havdalah. Okay, you can't use oil with Kedusha Shvius for Chanukah lich. Right? Because you're not allowed to have any enjoyment out of the Chanukah thing. But you're allowed to use oil. Oil is normally used for burning and light. So Shabbos candles, you can use Shemen with Kedusha Shvius, because you're getting enjoyment. The normal enjoyment of the oil is also to use for fuel for light. And you're getting the enjoyment of a light, that's fine. But Chanukah, you can't enjoy the light. can't have any benefit from the light, and therefore you're just burning it to burn. That's awesome. So any candles that aren't normally used for their light, like a Yahrzeit candle, or a Hanukkah candle, you can't use oil that has Kedusha Shvius. Okay, you can't give things that have Kedusha Shvius to a goy. Okay? But you're allowed stam to give it to a goy. But a goy who's a guest in your home, and therefore people who have Filipinos or any other style brand of goyim, and the truth is a lot of them are very, very nice people. So I don't want to give the impression of making fun of them. They're very fine people, and they do us a lot of favors, especially when it comes to Shabbos. So we should not be kfuye tova to these people, and even intimate to speak about them in a pejorative way. So if in case that came across like that to begin with, I have harata, and that is not the proper thing to do. Speak with these people with COVID, and especially have Hakaras HaTov to them. And the ones that I know here are extremely fine people, and they do a lot of chesed also. So in any case, but you, so those people, not because of all the nice things I said about them, but since they are guests in your home, basically you're allowed to give them Pedras for Kedusha Shvius, and you don't have to stand over them just like you don't stand over a child and make sure they don't throw it in the garbage or whatever. You can't use things that have Kedusha Shvius for medicinal purposes. Okay? You can't use alcohol that has Kedusha Shvius, right? Grain alcohol. Or alcohol that comes from, what's it called, from the distillation of wine, or anything else that has, that came, that grew with Kedusha Shvius. Right? To rub on your, what's it called, aching body or something, whatever you use it for.
What about
an
aloe plant?
A who? Aloe. Aloe is. First of all, I'm not sure. Aloe has Kedusha Shvius, Mustafa? Yeah, why not? You don't eat it, though. But it's made for that purpose. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
People do drink it.
It's
like
it's mainly made and right. That's the normal thing of that. Okay. Now things that are only edible by animals. So we said people are not allowed to eat them, but people are allowed to use them for a fuah. That's similar level. So you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to use it for medicinal purposes. Now, let's go to the... You have leftovers of food. So what do you do with it? You can't destroy it. You can't waste it. So, and they're still fit for human consumption, except people left them over on their plate, and you're not going to put them back, you know, to feed somebody else what somebody left on their plate.
And this you can't give to a dog.
And... what's it called? If nobody's going to eat it, it could be you could give to a dog. But in any case, it's still, as long as it's still fit for a human being, you can't give it to a dog. So now what do you do with it? So you can't throw it in the garbage either, because you can't destroy it in a direct way. And throwing it in the garbage is destroying it in a direct way. So what do you have to do? You have to leave it somewhere where, by throwing it away immediately, you won't make it inedible. You throw it away in a place where it still remains edible, and it then rots by itself. And then when it rots and becomes not edible, then you can throw it away. So, okay. When that is not feasible, then what you can do is put them in plastic bags and throw them into the garbage. Right, and then they won't just get destroyed by being in the garbage directly. If you throw food into a garbage can that has already rotting things in it, as soon as the food touches those things, it's nobody's going to eat it, so it becomes inedible completely. So therefore, you should put it into a thing that's not rotting and let it then rot by itself. If that's not feasible, then you can put it into a container, in a plastic bag, and then throw it into the garbage. Then when you immediately throw it into the garbage, it doesn't get ruined because it's in a plastic bag. Then what's going to happen is it'll get ruined in time. Or when they finally take out the garbage or whatever, that's second best to letting it rot by itself in a place that's not a garbage or whatever. That's why we have these special garbage.
Are we going to have some this year?
Yes.
Clean it out each after.
What happens is not. What happens like this. Whatever is in the same day is usually not rotting yet. So if you have something from Monday morning to Monday afternoon, or even Monday night to Monday afternoon, in one day, by throwing leftovers into the same garbage can that all was started that same day, is not a problem. Once it gets to the next day, things already get disgusting. And then if you throw something from Tuesday into Monday's garbage, it already is not, as soon as it touches the garbage, it's finished. So therefore, you throw Monday's garbage into Monday's garbage, and Tuesday's garbage into a new garbage, Tuesday's garbage, and then Wednesday's garbage into Wednesday. And after 3 days, Monday's garbage is already not edible at all, then you can throw it out. And then that's how you keep going, what's it called, new garbage cans every day, and every three, four days, you empty the garbage cans that have been around for the what's it called, the four-day period. Or 3 day, whatever period. Yeah.
You put milk and fish and garbage in the same thing?
Plastic bag?
Yeah, you can put milk and fish. There's no issue except for cooking them.
Then you made it not edible, though.
What?
You made it not edible.
That is
okay, you're right. I'm thinking that.
In
other words, the problem is that by putting milchiks and fleishiks together in the same garbage can, you're making them immediately unedible. Pouring leftover milk into a garbage can that has meat is making the milk immediately, and besides that, just pouring liquids anyway makes them inedible. So we're not talking about, you're not going to pour liquids directly into the garbage. That you have to get rid of somehow otherwise, but usually these things aren't Kedusha Shvi'is unless you cook corn maybe in your milk. Gravy.
If you had soup, you cook carrots in.
You're putting milchiks and fleishiks together. It's probably a problem. So what do we do? So we can't. We have one milchik Monday and one fleishik Monday and one. We don't have that, and we never had that.
I understand.
What? Yeah, but then it comes out that you'll have to put things that are fleishik or milchik into different bags anyway.
They're edible for. It's only a taruva. It's not a
blia.
I'm going to look into it. I don't know. We never were makbid to put dafka everything into bags, in the bag. And everything is, most things are not parav. They're either fleishik or milchik. I hear what Rafael says. So I'm not sure. From the fact that we never did it, seems to say that what Rafael said is probably right. But we'll look into it. I'm not sure. Okay, you can't take things that have Kedusha Shvi'is to Chutz Laretz. How they're allowed to send esrogim to Chutz Laretz is another shaila. But besides that, you want to take a snack along for the plane. Going to Chutz Laretz, you should not take things that have Kedusha Shvi'is with you. Or you should finish them before the plane takes off.
It's off
land. No. Once you're off of Eretz Israel, you're in Chutz Laretz.
What do you do with liquids?
Okay. However, if you have nothing else to eat on the plane except things with Kedusha Shvi'is, you're allowed to take as much as you need to eat on your trip if you're not going to have any other food. But if you have other food, you should rely on the other food and not take things that have Kedusha Shvi'is outside of Eretz Yisrael.
If you happen to be there, you could eat the Kedusha
Shvi'is. What?
If you happen to be a Chutz Laretz, they give you a Jaffa orange.
Right.
So eat it.
Then you have to take the Meiser.
No. Okay. Okay, we already spoke a little bit about doing business with Kedusha Shvi'is. Not yet. Hold on. It's good discipline before Rosh Hashanah. I'll give you the time to ask a question. Just hold. we spoke a little bit about doing business with Kedusha Shvius, and that means that you can't just go and buy anywhere. And if you give money, then the money becomes Kaddish B'Kedusha Shvius, and if you buy from somebody who's not reliable, you're causing them to use that money in a prohibited way. So have to be very careful where you buy things that have Kedusha Shvius and the way that it's bought. Again, Chaim Jacobs gave me a name of somebody. I haven't yet got in contact with him. Before the end of the week I will, and by Shabbos I think we'll have an idea. I also heard that in Bar Kol and in Aleph they have a list up to sign for what's it called, to buy as a cooperative, which we mentioned. But if they're going to be selling it in the same store, not in some other corner of the store or something that's not normal to sell, they're going to just go out for the regular checkout, the same thing, get the regular change or whatever, that's very problematic. So we may have to opt to go with this grocer, Reuven, in Kiryat Sefer, I think, or Brachta, one of the two. Kiryat Sefer. If he'll be Noheg with all of the halachas that are necessary. I don't know exactly how Aleph and how Bar Kol are going to be Noheg, but in the past they were not Noheg any special way. They sold the things mamish like they sold the thing. I don't know why that's mutter and who stands behind it. I heard Rav Efrati's name is on these things. If his name is on and he says it's fine with me, right? But I would like to hear why, Taka, this is an exception or what they're actually going to do. So okay, I hope by Shabbos I'll have that information.
So if for instance...
If I won't let David ask questions, I can't let surely anybody else ask questions. Okay. Now we will. There are still other halakas that we haven't even touched on, but all of those will not have anything to do till next summer. So we'll leave them at least for the time being. Okay. Any questions on what we spoke about? Yeah.
I'm still confused. It seemed like to me.
So am I.
Rubbish back and forth. When trying to determine normal use of peros, does it go by what a normal use or what most people normally use it?
No, what most people in that place normally use it for.
Meaning if 30%, 40% of the people would use it in that way, that's still not called a normal use.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what percentage. If you need 50%, right, or a mute that's matzui is also called normal. I'm not sure.
A good example is mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
A lot of people eat mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes is
a
normal
thing.
That's
not a majority of potatoes used in the world or in our area.
Right, but it's the normal way of dealing with potatoes. That doesn't mean that sometimes people like to eat potatoes different ways. But it's not that they won't mash it, they don't like want mashed potatoes. But mashed potatoes is an example of something that definitely...
The only question was the Rav had defined before the majority of people.
No, majority of people will mash potatoes when they want to eat mashed potatoes. No.
You want to have a smoothie though.
That's not true. No, a majority of people will never do this. Only a minority will do that. But a majority of people would eat mashed potatoes at some point. That's a normal thing for a majority. You hear the difference?
Majority of usages of potatoes.
Right, not potatoes usage, but what? Right, exactly.
Wait, so smoothies are what they're...
What?
Say that again?
Smoothies.
Majority of people will eat mashed potatoes, and mashed potatoes if they're in the mood to eat mashed potatoes. That's something that's normally done by almost everybody. Except sometimes I don't like mashed potatoes, so I like baked potatoes better. But that doesn't mean it's abnormal for me to eat mashed potatoes. I just don't like mashed potatoes. But it's normal to mash potatoes. Now, she'en kein, peeling tomatoes is not something that everybody would do, right, normally. It's something that only a very minority of people do. They may do it all the time. But the majority of people never peel their tomatoes. They don't consider that a normal thing to do.
So people to cook oranges.
What?
So people to cook oranges.
To cook oranges?
Or cook wine. Yeah, use wine to flavor things.
I'm not sure. Probably wine for sure is used in certain what's it called, recipes and used for cooking. It's a normal thing. Oranges, I'm not sure. Probably yes, also because yeah, there are recipes for oranges that are cooked.
You can buy orange marmalade in every grocery store.
A marmalade is different. Marmalade for sure is normal.
Well, yeah. You cooked it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but cooking them whole, not for marmalade, is I'm not sure. Yeah.
A normal user would like to, because that's the peeling. If you want to peel a grape for a baby, a lot of people peel those sorts of things for little kids. So would that become normal? Is that
bananas, grape?
Mashed bananas for babies, or peeled grapes specifically. Not sure. Not sure. What?
Mashed
bananas to make cakes or.
That's normal. When you make a banana cake, you mash bananas. A banana cake is better than
coffee. Okay. Again, this is not. You know, this is something that really depends on the place, the time. And it's hard for me to tell what people do, normal people, and maybe I'm not normal.
What?
I never peeled a grape in my life. I know. True, but...
Rabbi, what's considered the place? Eretz Yisrael, our Moshav, what's considered the place?
Probably Eretz Yisrael in general. Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
To what extent do you need to be careful with, like, let's say you spill wine or veggies on the plate and you pour it into your cup? To what extent do you have to, like, think you have to take a straw and make the plate? Is it just enough to...
If it's something already that nobody would eat, nobody would salvage, and that's finished. You don't have to go and clean out a pot, you know, from every molecule of food. But normally is stuck to the pot, and nobody would salvage. That's already not edible.
Okay, so if it's spilled on a table,
same thing, right? Exactly. Right. Or something's left in the cup, you can wash it out. You don't have to sit there and wait till it rots or whatever to clean the cup. That's for sure. Yeah.
So are we going to get an answer about the smashing, like, baby poop for baby?
Yeah, as soon as I find out what it is.
One other question. What about, like, things... I was just saying when you were talking about peeling tomatoes. If, let's say, Pesach time, one would normally peel tomatoes. I don't, but like there are people that have like a minute to peel everything Pesach time. Is that considered because it's Pesach normal, or you don't do that Pesach time either because it's not done most of the year?
Good question. I don't know. Yeah. Huh? I hear. It's a good question.
Wine,
yeah.
If it was wine in the parchment, and so we've had it back and forth and back and forth. The last fact that I remember was that although people do cook with wine, because whenever you cook with wine, you're always ma'edit.
Right.
Then the Rav said that we shouldn't do it because we're getting rid of the.
Because it hurts the wine. There's a big machlokus whether cooking wine hurts it or just the opposite. It makes it better. That's not good for taste. What?
Yeah.
I hear. Right, evaporates the wine. I'm not sure. Like you said, I remember there's a back and forth and back and forth. And what's normal, what's not normal, I don't know. So we have peeling tomatoes for Pesach. Let me write these things down. We have mashing bananas and peeling grapes for kids. No, this is. I told somebody last week if Shabbos would come once every 7 years. Do you have any idea what kind of? Because we have it every week. It's.
Could I ask a second?
Hold on one second.
Can't
go to
any restaurants. What are you
going to
do?
Smoothies are pureed, strawberries, anything.
Mystery suspects, I can't buy it.
Peeling.
You don't usually squeeze crab.
Most people
are trying to get squeeze, but you ground it up.
Peeling.
When you have a strawberry smoothie, you do.
Tomatoes.
Is that that uncommon?
Okay, and cooking with wine. Okay, next. Yeah, about you. Oh, yeah, milk and meat in the garden. Wait a second.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
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 The chicken that I make is called Coca-Cola chicken. And basically you roast chicken in Coca-Cola, but you also roast potatoes. The question is, if you're doing that...
You do that all in Coca-Cola?
Oh, yeah. Only
cut
yeah.
Huh?
Well,
you gotta
cut
shallow.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I have one of those dips.
Okay.
And then I pour Coca-Cola over the lot of it. The question is whether the potatoes in any way give a flavor to the chicken. In other words, if it's chicken to do shishmi.
Sure.
It's all in the same gravy? It's all in the Coke?
Yeah.
It's submerged in the Coke and cooked potatoes and chicken in the same Coke? Yeah, then it's the chicken has kedusha shvius. And so does the Coke. I mean, excuse me, Coca-Cola. You never tell what goes off on the internet over here, and we will have people flocking to Matityo. Yeah.
Okay. With flour, after you they get rotted after a few days or however long, then we can throw
them away in the garbage.
Regular garbage.
Regular garbage.
Okay. 1 minute. I'm throw them outside my door, which they've just been laying there for years, nothing, or however long it takes to.
She has
and they haven't like rooted or anything.
Well, but where in front of your door there's things growing? Yeah, that's called fertilizer. That you can't do.
So just in a regular.
That's basically you're using that as fertilizer. That's why you throw them there.
Not
real. At what point?
Well, that's what the benefit is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
At
what point do flowers specifically?
No, not eating. They lose all their aroma. Some of them, and then it doesn't look nice anymore.
Can you decide that I wouldn't use them anymore?
No, most people wouldn't. If you gave them as a present to somebody else, they wouldn't consider that a present. Reused flowers, yeah.
Are there any problems that can come up when we have between people who follow the Chazanish versus Yerushalayim, guests going one way or the other, or going to a restaurant?
Okay, that's. Should we discuss that? Well, that we'll have to discuss separately. We didn't get yet to the different shittas of what has Kedusha Shvius or not, and how to deal with the different minhagim, and if you go to Yerushalayim where they have a different minig in some places, what do you do? That will have to spend a shiur on after Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, nobody's going to a restaurant before the next shiur or whatever, or even a simcha that's going to have things with kedusha shviyas. Maybe you can go to a simcha and you can eat the regular vegetables and you don't have to worry about 100%, and you can leave it on your plate and the waiters can come and bust the tables normally. That takes care of that. Yeah.
I had a question back on the eating.
You don't have to take your leftovers in a plastic bag home to throw away in our special garbage can. That you don't have to do. Okay, that's. It's not nogeya to us. It's nogeya only to the place will have good hecherim. It's not nogeya to you.
Yeah,
that we'll see. That is nogeya because then that's nogeya to what hecherim is. That we'll see. Yeah.
This question had to do with obviously what I said now all the time, but like not just Kedusha Shvius, but let's say you have what you said wasn't fit for a human to eat. If it was fit for a human to eat, it should not be fed to an animal. So my question is like, how do you define that? Because like, you know, let's say a kid eats a half a piece of chicken. It's still, the other half of the piece of chicken is still edible by a person.
But nobody's going to eat a half a piece of chicken, right? You're not going to put it back,
no.
Right? For instance, sometimes yes.
Right. Well,
right. If I eat a half a piece of chicken Friday night, I will put it back. That not that anybody else should get it, but I'll know where it is. I'll take that tomorrow, the next day. Yeah?
Right.
But, my own Shirayim, I eat.
Parents will eat kids' food.
Okay, if it is edible and people, if it was something, you had a guest who was really gross and drooling or whatever, nobody is going to eat his leftovers, okay? Clearly. Right? You're not going to take it off the table and put it back for your leftovers during the week. You're going to, you know, with gloves, try to get it somewhere. So it's still fit for human consumption. If nobody was at the table and saw this guy, right, you could, you know, give it to your guests the next day who weren't there the night before. But you're not going to do that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you can feed that to a dog.
Anything that you would normally.
Right. Nobody's gonna eat. You're gonna throw it away. Normally, you can give it to a dog.
What about the halacha that you do here now that you're not allowed to usually feed human food to an animal?
That's what I'm just talking about.
Unless the animal has nothing else to eat, then you're allowed to.
Right. If nothing else to eat is one thing, but if you have other food to feed it, you can feed it other food.
So if you have nothing else to feed, you can feed it.
Nothing, mamish, nothing else to feed, you can feed it. You don't have to let the animals eat.
Okay. No, we're not animals. We're talking about our animals.
Okay. We will continue after Rosh Hashanah. Yeah?
How careful do you have to be with children then?
You don't have to be careful with children. You just give them to eat. Give them agave kedusha shviyas. You can give them to eat what you normally would give them to eat, and let them eat it how they normally eat.
They throw something out.
That's not a problem. That's called the normal usage of that food. The
Rabbi, let me ask part of that question. If they take their food and they make a big mess in the house, is it? Can you clean it up normally? Or you have
No. If it's still... If it's still edible, then you should throw it in the garbage cans that are special for kids.
What? Like you said, nobody's going to eat it after that.
It's on the floor, and it's... you can probably clean it up regularly, yeah.